We're studying the book of Acts from the original Greek language, the Koine Greek. And we're in the 10th chapter. A very interesting chapter, especially for us Gentiles. Now, I am also of Jewish lineage, way back somewhere, according to my DNA. But so I am a direct son of Abraham, but most importantly, I'm a spiritual son of Abraham. In the 10th chapter in verse 1, we have the beginning of the Gentile church. But let's go back, in Romans, in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter. And let's read there for a few moments. Romans, the 10th chapter, and verse number 8. Because this Peter was the first apostle sent to the Gentiles. But Peter had a real problem, like many Jewish people with, of being above everyone else. They thought they were more special to God than anyone else. And Paul was called by God to be an apostle, and he was sent as the apostle to the Gentiles. He had to defend the Gentile churches and the Gentiles. Now in Romans, the 10th chapter, in verse number 8, it says, "What does it say? The word of God's message in Christ is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word, the message, the basis, and the object of faith which we preach. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord in your heart, and believe and adhere to and trust in and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes and adheres to and trusts and relies in Christ, and it is so justified and declared righteous and acceptable to God, and with the mouth confesses and declares openly and speaks out freely his faith and confirms his salvation that has taken place in his heart. The scripture says, no man who believes in him, who adheres to and relies and trusts in him, will ever be put to shame or be disappointed. Verse number 12, no one, for there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile, or Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord over all of us, and he generously bestows his riches upon all who call upon him in faith. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, invoking him as Lord, shall be saved. But how are people to call upon him whom they have not believed, in whom they have no faith, on whom they have no reliance? And how are they to believe in him and adhere to and trust and rely upon him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher?" And that's what we're doing here tonight. "And how can men be expected to preach unless they are sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings. How welcome is the coming of those who preach the good news of his good things. But they have not all heeded the gospel." For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed and had faith in what he has heard from us? So faith comes by hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for the scripture says, their voice, that of nature bearing God's message, has gone out to all the earth. And their words, so far as the bounds of the world." Again, I say, did Israel not understand? Did the Jews have no warning that gospel was to go forth to the Gentiles? To all the earth, first there is Moses who says, "I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation, actually a no people. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who do not seek me. I have shown and revealed myself to those who did not consciously ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all the day long I've stretched out my hands to a people unyielding and disobedient and self-willed, to a fault finding contrary and contradicting the people. Now we come to where God sends a very, very prejudiced man to a Gentile people that are known by the Jews as dogs. 10 and verse 1, Aner, De, Tis, and Caesarea, Onomate, Cornelius, Heka, Paul, Tarkes, Ek, Speres, Tes, Colomenes, Italiques. And there was a certain man in Caesarea. His name is Cornelius. And Cornelius is a centurion, or a professional Roman soldier, over 80 legionaries at least. Out of the seed of those being called Italians, and of course the Italians were Romans, Eusebe, Kai, Phobinos, Ton, Theon, Sin, Ponte, To, Oiko, Alto, Poyo, Elemosinas, Polos to lao kai diomenos tu theou dia pontos. And this man was devout. That word Eusebes. Eusebius is a name from that word, and it means to handle yourself carefully before God. It says devout, handling himself carefully before God, and fearing, constantly fearing inside, knowing the God. With all his house. In other words, he brought his house up to be God-fearing, God-honoring people. But he didn't know everything about God that he needed to know. He was one of those people that Paul says that knew not God. And God sent the preacher. All the house of him. He was always doing merciful things. And many merciful things he did to the people of God, to the Jews, always, constantly, as a habit. Aden and Onomate, Phoneros, Jose, Peri, Horan, Enatane, Tais, Hemeras, Angelou, Angelon, Tu, Theu, Aselthonta, Pros, Alto, Kai, Aponta, Alto, Cornelia. And he saw a vision, a very vision in plain light. Perfectly, he saw this vision. As it were, around him, the ninth hour of the day, or 9 o'clock in the morning, the angel of God, having entered toward him, and began to talk to Cornelius in human language. Verse number 4. Hode ati nisos. Auto kai em phobos. Genomenos. Apen ti esten. Kyrie apen de auto. He pros uke. Si kai he ilo menesene. Si anabason ace meno mosenon. Emprostane to Theu. Moreover, furthermore, having gazed intently at him, he was terrified greatly. He became terrified greatly, and he said, what is it, Lord? What do you want, Lord? This is what we ought to say always in our heart. What do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do? And he said to him, the prayers of you and your deeds of charity and mercy have gone up into as a memorial before God. We know that Abraham paid tithes and that his son Levi received tithes from that, and they are counted to his ledger. And this man, his good deeds and his merciful acts have been heard by God. 10 and verse 5, Kai, Nin, Pamphon, Andros, Ais, Yapan. Kai, Meta, Pamphse, Simona, Tina, Hos, Epikalete, Petros. And now you send some men to Joppa. Now there was a church in Joppa. There's a church in Jerusalem. There's a church in Samaria. There's a church in almost every district in Palestine now. The churches have spread all over. And there's a church in Joppa. And he said, you summon Simon, a certain man who is called Peter. Verse number 6. Huto zene zete, para tine simoni, barise, ho esten oikia, para thalase. And this one, Peter, he's lodging there with another man called Simon, a tanner, a skin fixer, is what it literally means, a skin fixer, a barise. Who is living in a house by the sea? By the seashore, the lip of the sea. Hos de apeltain, ho anglos, ho lalon, auto phonesas, dio ton oiketon, kai strati atain, eusebe ton. And the angel went away, and the one speaking to him, and having called two of the household and the soldiers that were worshipful to God and to him, and they were waiting upon him. And then it says, having archai exe ge somanos apanta autos apestalane autos estain yapa. And having explained everything to these men, he sent them out with authority. This is the word apostle here now. To Joppa. To the church in Joppa. And then here we have the Lord working on the other end of this situation. Te de aparion hodoi paru onton ekainon kai te pole ing gizonton anabe petros epito doma prosukaste peri hora ektein. And the next day, journeying these men, and in the city, when they were drawing near to the city, Peter went up upon the rooftop to pray about noon, about the sixth hour of the day, which is noon. He was going up there to pray. And it was something from inside of him, his middle voice. He wanted to go pray. He was seeking God. Verse number 10. Aganato de pros penes kai elthanein gu asaste para ki zonton de auton aganato epi auton eskatasis. And Peter became very hungry. And he kept on wishing to taste something that was being prepared. Have you ever gone by a bakery or sometime restaurants and the food in there smelled so good and you just all of a sudden got hungry? And then he says, as he was up there and as he was tasting food, something came upon him. And it was a trance or an ecstasy. That word ekstasos, that means ecstasy. We get a word ecstasy from it. And we're going to quit right there. And we're going to go back into the Amplified Bible once again. And we're going to read these first 10 verses of this chapter. And that's previews of coming attractions of this Gentile church. Now, living at Caesarea, there was a man whose name was Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian regiment, a devout man who venerated God and treated him with reverential obedience, as did all his household, and he gave much alms to the people and prayed continually to God. And about the ninth hour, at 3 o'clock of the day, he saw clearly a vision of an angel of God entering and saying to him, Cornelius, in the vocative case, by the way, the case of address. And he, gazing intently at him, became frightened and said, What is it, Lord? And the angel said to him, Your prayers. Look at that. Your prayers have been heard. Your prayer. This man was a lost man, wasn't he? Was this man lost? He didn't know the true way of God, and yet he reverenced God. And he said unto him, your prayers and your generous gifts to the poor have come up as a sacrifice to God and have been remembered by him. And now send men to Joppa, the church at Joppa, and have them call on and invite here one Simon, whose name is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, a skin fixer, whose house is by the seaside. And when the angel who spoke to him had left, Cornelius called two of his servants and a God-fearing soldier from among his own personal attendants, and having rehearsed everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were still on their way and were approaching the town, Peter went up on the rooftop of the house to pray about noon, or the sixth hour of the day. And he became very hungry, and something like a great sheet, no, became very hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, a ecstasy, a trance, came over him. God is preparing both ends of the situation. Now, there are people all over the world and here in this country who are reverential to God. They have the fear of the God in their hearts and their lives from the time of their thinking, when they began to think. Marilyn?
Yes.
When you were very young, you always reverenced God, didn't you? You always reverenced God, didn't you?
Yes.
You always sought God.
Yes.
And you made a very, very foolish prayer one time. Not too long before you met me, and you said, Lord, here I am. I'm about the end of my life. And if you're going to do something for me, I want you to send somebody in my life. Is that what you prayed?
Yeah.
And you would like to have, you liked Indians, didn't you?
Yeah.
And you liked cowboys.
Yeah.
And you wanted to learn about the Bible. Mm-hmm. And you got in trouble, didn't you? You run upon me. God answered her prayer, and she got more than she could chew, swallow, and digest. And so did I. God prepares people's hearts beforehand. And God prepares a preacher beforehand. I've heard stories of missionaries that went off into foreign lands, and they were there sometimes 5 or 6 years before one person believed. But God sent that missionary there for that one person. That one person. I remember a story of a missionary that went into an area, I believe in Africa it was, where he preached for years. And he finally had the Bible translated in their own native languages. And of course, the Christian faith went there first. And then the Muslims went there and killed all the Christians and killed everybody that would not adhere to their faith. And they put the Quran in their hands. And there was, according to this story, a woman was reading the Bible. And she had known the Quran. And she looked at the Bible and she started the book of Revelation first because she was used to reading the first of the book is here in the back of the book because everything goes from right to left and to the left to right. And she read the book of Revelation and she became very afraid because everything that she had been told in her Islamic faith was contrary to what the Bible said. Everything that was good in the Quran was bad in the Bible. The beast and the false prophet and the Antichrist and the mark of the beast are all bad things in the Bible. But in the Islamic culture, it is you want the mark of the beast. You want to follow the beast. You want to follow the Christ, the Mahdi. You want to be marked by the beast. And here she found out that all of that was bad. And she became the first believer. The first believer. And it was over 10 years before this missionary had a believer, an adherent to the gospel of Jesus Christ. God prepares the other end and God prepares this end. If somebody wants to know Jesus Christ as Savior, God will get the message to them. We live in an age where the message is so easy to go out. Well, the messages of God can reach the uttermost parts of the world. Tonight, when I finish recording this message, we will put it out on sermon audio and then on YouTube, and it will go all over the world instantly. And people in every area, maybe they'll just turn on their computer or something, and there is this message, the Gentile Church. And they'll listen to it. And if you're one of those that are doing this, God's Son, Jesus Christ, died for your sins. He was buried in a grave. He was resurrected the third day. And that He would die for your sins and was raised for your justification. If you believe in your heart that God sent Him to save you, that He died on the cross of Calvary, that He was buried and He was resurrected by the power of God. And you allow God to come into your heart and you ask Him to be your master and your king and ask Him to forgive your sins. It says in Romans, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have eternal life. Our Father, we send this message out to the world. For you. Father, just use it in a mighty way to bring about your eternal purpose. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.